Hello, friends and neighbors, and welcome to another wonderful edition of Racing Refresh Happy Hour, this one titled Rovo Revamp. This is episode 58, season 2, episode 24 of this incarnation of this bad boy, and I'm not doing it alone, thank the Lord. I have everybody's favorite Canadian for the next hour or so, Mr. Adam Carbine. Come on in here, Mr. Show Creator. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Happy Canadian Thanksgiving to you, Logan.
Oh, that doesn't count for me at all. It doesn't. Have you had a nice dinner today? Or?
I'm about to after the show. It's, you know, I'm on the West Coast, so I'm only 6 o'clock out here. Okay. So doing that tonight and had the day off work, which was nice. And yeah.
So tell me about Canadian Thanksgiving before we jump into the racing portion of the show. And there's a lot to get to.
Yeah.
How does that work? Do you all eat the same thing we do? Or
to be honest, I don't really know why ours is different than yours. I'm not really sure what the start of Canadian Thanksgiving is from. Someone maybe some of our other Canadian commenters out there can shed some more light on that. I really don't know. We just have a different day. We're supposed to just be thankful for things, which I am. I am thankful for many things, including you, Logan.
Well, but, I'm thankful for you as well, brother.
Thank you. Yeah. But honestly, I don't really know where it all comes from. So it's a cop-out answer, but
I know that Thanksgiving has some, in 2024, some controversial origins, let's say. And I think that's a fair statement. And so I'm not necessarily worried about that. I'm worried about the spread because I'm fat. That's why. So let me ask, is it a potato stuffing sort of deal? Do you get the bird going, the turkey, the ham, the whatever it may be? What's the spread?
Traditionally, I would say so. Yes. Traditionally it is the turkey and all the mashed potatoes, stuffing, all that stuff. We're doing it a little low key today just cause, I don't know. It's been a busy few weeks here, really busy couple months, and so we're tired, didn't feel like doing a lot of that, so I think we're doing some chicken, but I think we're also doing mashed potatoes and stuffing and kind of on a smaller scale. It's just the immediate family. We're not having like a big get together. So
okay, so you and the kids and Sheila and the whole deal there.
That's right. Yeah. So,
all right, well, God bless you. God bless you. Good luck. Enjoy your meal, but first you get an hour of me. That's an appetizer right there.
Whew, yeah. Hopefully I still have room for dinner after.
We'll see what happens. I'm a lot of man. Anywho, what do you say we do? We do what we're here to do. What do you say?
Let's do it. Yeah, I believe producer Peggy is going to be joining us a little later, but we're gonna get started here.
That means it's time for the weekend review, Mr. Carbine.
There it is.
Oh, yes. Bingo, bingo, bingo. All right, let's talk the Rovo. Let's talk the Cup edition of the Rovo first. Kyle Larson, he drove that thing like he stole it and dominated.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about Kyle Larson first. Hey, Freddie, how you doing? Always a pleasure to have you. We greatly, greatly appreciate you chiming on in.
I believe Freddie is Canadian as well, so happy Thanksgiving to you, Freddie.
I'm looking forward to Thanksgiving, boys. About what we got? 6 weeks. Oh yeah, that's getting y'all ought to see me at the Thanksgiving table. Anywho,
a quick Google search tells me that because winter comes a little earlier in Canada, our fall harvest happens earlier, and therefore they decided to set Canadian Thanksgiving the second Monday in October.
It is a lame reason, bro.
That is a weird reason, but.
I'm not trying to judge your culture. You know, you do your thing.
Fellow Canadian Freddie, you're outnumbered here, Logan. So, anyways, yes.
And then we get Matt Moore in here, and then he's a Canadian. That tells you the power of NASCAR, ladies and gentlemen. all right, let's talk Kyle Larson first. There's a lot to unpack from the Rovo. Let's talk Kyle Larson. Mm-hmm. He drove that thing like he stole it. He dominated, frankly. They used to say this about Martin Truex Jr., and it's still true when he wins. Nobody stinks up a show quite like Kyle Larson. When he decides to win, boy, it's a dominator.
It's true.
Were you surprised that Kyle Larson dominated? He's not necessarily a road course ringer. He has, in recent years, maybe taken the baton from Chase Elliott at Chase at Hendrick as far as road courses go, ever since they went to the next gen car. Were you surprised by this? What did you think of the new reprieve? A lot to go there. There's a lot to talk about, of course, the playoffs. I want to focus on that separately. So,
yeah,
the new layout. What do you think, Kyle Larson dominating?
I don't know if I would say that Kyle Larson is taking the baton from Chase Elliott as far as road courses go. I would just say he is taking the baton at Hendrick as far as like every discipline of, you know, NASCAR racing goes. He seems to always have the best equipment, but he's also, you know, probably a future Hall of Famer driver, probably one of the most talented drivers in the field right now. A case could maybe be made for Kyle Busch, but he hasn't been doing as much lately. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm not surprised. I'm a little disappointed by it just because, yeah, it does stink up the show a little bit, as you said, and it's not as fun when it's not your own driver. So I know Martin Truex Jr. sometimes does that too, or at least used to. And I didn't mind that because it was my guy. But yeah, it's true. This is maybe what other people were feeling as Martin Truex would dominate. Holy. It's yeah. And to be honest, the nice thing was, in a way, that the lead was not really in question and we were able to really focus on the playoff battles. Larson was already clinched into the next round, so we didn't have to worry about like, oh, is someone from below gonna win? It just kind of was like, oh, Larson's gonna go in, but let's see how the rest of the playoffs kind of shake out here. You did also ask me about the revamped
the repay
layout. It was interesting, honestly. I when I saw the news that they were gonna be changing it, I was like, is it really gonna make a huge difference? Like, I don't know, they do these little things sometimes and it's like, yeah, the race is exactly the same. But honestly, it was great. It was turn seven, I think it was, six or seven.
Turn seven.
That hairpin turn there.
The hairpin turn got hairy.
Yeah, and I thought, when I first saw it, I thought, oh man, that's just going to be a slower turn. And so is that really that exciting? But honestly, that was where most of the action was. I didn't notice a huge difference in like the bus stop on the back there. I know they said they changed that a little bit, but I would say it was a win. You know, the drivers were happy with it too, which is always, I think, important, just whether they enjoy it or not too. What did you think?
Look, I think, again, Kyle, the two guys named Kyle are the most talented guys in the field as far as pure natural talent goes. I mean, that's just the way, that's my belief.
Don't quote me, AJ. I'm just, who knows what I'm saying? I've had the day off work. I'm not in my best.
The hairpin turn does get hairy, and it did. It turn seven was wild. It had some, it was kind of cattywampus, if you want to know the truth. But look, Kyle Larson, I think, is in his own field right now. I would still say that Kyle Busch competes for the most naturally talented driver in the field, but some of it is equipment, some of it is adjusting to this car. There's a couple different factors, but talent versus talent, I still think if you stick them in equal equipment, I don't know who'd win. I really don't.
Right.
And I think that's still a fair statement. Not surprised. You know, we know the road course prowess that Hendrick brings. They've done it for a long time. I mean, even going back to, Jeff Gordon is a road course reigner, and obviously he's having more and more pull at Hendrick. So it just kind of makes sense that they are absolutely dominating. As far as the revamp, I don't think it made a great bit of difference. I don't. I thought, like, yeah, the chicane thing and the smaller bumps, that was interesting, and like they had some issues there at first, or NASCAR was like, man, if we keep calling this, we're gonna have to call this every single lap, sort of like holding in the NFL. So that was, it was weird to me how everybody was having trouble with it at first, and then it kind of completely stopped. So I wonder if they were like, let's let them just touch that bump, whatever. Right. I thought kind of the I know the Roval is sold as kind of NASCAR's Frankenstein, a weird mix of road course and oval. Obviously, it's one of the more historic tracks in Charlotte Motor Speedway. But I thought this was, and it isn't because Larson dominated, but I thought it was just kind of another reminder that I think the Roval novelty has kind of ran its course. I'm ready to go back to two oval races at Charlotte. Before we move on to the playoff talk and, you know, nice HendrickCars.com plug there, AJ. You know, well, why not?
You know, I was going to ignore it, but sure. Yeah,
but let me ask you this before we kind of keep moving down the docket. Has the Roval ran its course to you? Is it time to just go back to two Charlotte dates? And I mean two Charlotte dates because I think it's important for two reasons. Number one, it's NASCAR's home base. Number two, it's a week off travel, and I think that's very important. What say you?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I actually don't mind the Roval as much as some people seem to. I know there's kind of some hatred out there for the Roval, including from Denny Hamlin, which I think does sometimes, you know, have some influence over many people. I don't hate it. I think right now it's a question of the package, and I don't know if I could argue against an intermediate style race at Charlotte, you know, on the oval in place of the road course, just because our intermediate package has been pretty good lately and those have been pretty exciting races. So AJ also saying, love the Roval. If they did return to a traditional race, it must be 500 miles like always, not 400. I mean,
I would love to see that, but as you know, they're trying to get rid of the 500 milers.
Yeah.
And because we have the attention span of squirrels.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, it's too long. What do you, go take a pee. What are you doing? Just you either want to watch this or you don't. It's too long. Nobody ever says the Super Bowl is too long.
Yeah,
when it's an insanely long event this year in February, no matter who's playing, you know, I know Kendrick Lamar is going to put on a banger of a halftime show. Black of the Bitter Sweet of the Juice, amen, bro. But here's the deal. Let's be honest, folks. Let's be honest. It's a long event. All right, the national anthem takes like 7 minutes. It's a little while, and everybody. Well, it's football. Well, you either like it or you don't. Same thing with baseball. Like, if you don't like it, move along. All right, had to get that out.
That's okay. But, yeah. I would say, I just want to end with this. I think if they're going to get rid of the Roval, I agree that it should remain at Charlotte. I don't think they should go anywhere else. I don't think they should replace it with a different road course somewhere. I would say keep it at Charlotte. So.
You know, because I do, I think I love the long schedule, but let's be honest about the fact that it's a lot for these teams. It's a lot for these teams and drivers. I love the long schedule. It's great for me. But I think we should find a way to do some different things at different tracks. And so I don't mind the Roval. I think I don't have a hatred for it. I know a lot of people do. I just kind of wonder if it's ran its course is all, you know,
right. Like,
you know, I don't know if it's something that I don't know if it's something we see in the next 10 years as far as adding to the folklore of NASCAR and Charlotte Motor Speedway, because it felt like it always has felt like an experiment. Well, if it's truly an experiment, then it's got to end at some point, right? So, you know, I don't know what the future holds. Do you want to get to the kind of earth shattering news?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
For what it's worth, before we move on, the Roval will be back on the schedule next year, I believe. So. Yep. So we're going to, so we'll we can
at least for one more year,
we can talk till I'm red in the face, but the facts are what the facts are. It's on the 2025 docket. All right. So it looked like our playoff field was set. All four Hendrick cars in there, Joey Logano and company, not in there. And then the man known as B-Pac broke some news.
Sure did.
Alex Bowman was disqualified. Adam, would you like to tell us about it?
And after the race, obviously every car goes through post-race tech. It sounds like the Bowman 48 was underweight, and that is as an interesting sort of thing that could happen. It does get weighed before the race. I've seen some videos on Twitter and like saying, oh, some stuff might have fallen out of the car when he went over one of those you know, humps there and got some air a little bit. Like, you know, this should be a total, you know, a win for Hendrick. They can appeal this. It fell off during the race. It's no big deal. That's not really how it works. Apparently there's a 17 pound, margin of error basically. So you're technically allowed to lose 17 pounds of weight during the race. I'm not sure how you would do that. I don't know, but I think it's just to allow for any sort of, you know, accidents could happen. You could lose a little bit of sheet metal there, or I guess it's not even metal anymore, but you know, the composite body there. But yeah, so 17 pounds is kind of, and this was apparently quite a bit under. I also read something that one of the directors who's in charge of tech gave them every opportunity to make it up to that 17 pound margin. They allowed them to refuel it full. They allowed them to pump water through all the systems so that it was like adding as much possible weight. They reweighed it. It was still below the 17 pound margin. And really, the other kind of piece of breaking news around that is Hendrick has decided today they're not going to appeal. So clearly something went wrong here, but I do know there's also a huge penalty if you lose some of that tungsten ballast that is in the car. Mm. And I think that penalty is actually worse than just a disqualification. So I think they were like, we probably lost like a really heavy piece out of the car. And if we appeal this, we may win the appeal, but it may turn into a bigger penalty because it'll show that we lost, you know, some of this tungsten that they put in the car to weigh it down. So
one of those moments where quit while you're ahead, kind of sort of.
Exactly.
I know it stinks to lose a playoff driver, but I mean, you got to feel bad for Ally and all those partners, because clearly they thought, man, our driver's going to the playoffs. We're going to the round of eight, pardon me. Going to the round of eight, got a real shot at the championship. When you get down to the round of eight, you have a chance, folks. Yep. You always do from the round of 16 on, but the round of eight is the elite of the elite. Mm-hmm. And so if you find your way there, you've got a real shot. So feel bad for those, but yeah, it's, you know.
And I mean, yeah, Bowman was having a hell of a playoffs. He's been, you know, so funny. Leading into the playoffs, there was this question of whether his ride was even safe next year, and it kind of pissed him off, and he just went on a tear. Like, he's been collecting stage points like nobody's business. He had a great playoffs. He came in at a bit of a points disadvantage. You know, he wasn't in like, you know, first or second place with playoff points, but yeah, did what he had to do to make it this far. And it's, yes, obviously four drivers are eliminated at the end of each round, but it sucks to go out this way. I think he, you know, aside from this weight thing, I don't know. Do you think that perhaps 18 to 19 pound weight loss, I don't know how much it was, but do you think that played a role in getting him into the next round? Like, I don't think so, really. Like,
it may have. It's hard to say, right? Because we'd have to know the exact specifics of what such and such is, and the car and the whole deal. So I mean, that's a lot to guess on. And I'm not an expert on these cars anyway. Most people aren't. Let's be real about it. Why? Because it's still fairly new. Like, right. I mean, there's still always more to learn, always mess with. To me, you know, it stinks. It's the way it is, especially because NASCAR is a sport, and no one likes to say this, but NASCAR is a sport that is built on, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Right. I mean, that's just, you know, that's just the reality of it. But obviously it's a different time. And so for Bowman and Bowman's fans and Hendrick, look, whatever you're trying to do, and they even tried to give you every bit of leeway. Frankly, when you hear the details, I'm like, why'd you even try to give him that much leeway? That just sounds extremely biased. Right. You know, that does not help the NASCAR helps Hendrick narrative, by the way.
True.
And not that I'm not, you know, I don't have my tinfoil hat out on that. I don't really believe that. But when I hear stories like that, I'm like, why wouldn't you just catch him and go, hey, here's the deal, guys. You're not 1 pound short. You're like 10 pounds short. Instead, right. You're like, let me give you every opportunity. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Unless you want them to be in there.
Well, I don't know if it's about wanting them to be in, but maybe not wanting to become part of the story, as in like changing the playoffs through a DQ rather than just, you know, letting it play out. Right. It may have been that as well. So
Matt Marr chiming in. How are you? It's a Canadian party. AJ, help me out. There's a bunch of Canadians going around. Luckily they're nice folks. Friendliest folks you ever met in the life.
Happy Thanksgiving, Matt. Good to have you.
Hope you enjoyed your Talladega trip. I'm sure it was a different world for you, brother.
Totally.
Right here in the good old US of A, baby.
Here's something. I just ran some quick numbers there as you were talking about the Alex Bowman situation. Does the underweight car factor in? Does that allow him to finish better than he should have? Maybe. But if he had finished 26th, by my calculations, he would still be in. And I don't know if it would actually have made him finish 38th to be fully at weight. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah,
look, I don't know if it gave him that much of an advantage that
it probably didn't, but it's kind of like Deflategate, right? I mean, I know you're not the biggest football guy, but I'm sure you remember Deflategate.
Oh yes. Yeah. And
if I recall, they put it on the Colts during that game. I mean, was it Baltimore? Nonetheless, whoever they played, they put it on them, and it probably wouldn't have made that big of a difference. But still, you want to be on the up and up, and NASCAR is in an era of trying to make everything on the up and up. Not to suggest they weren't trying to in the past, but there's much more emphasis on it now. And anyone that doesn't believe that, I've got some oceanfront property to sell you in Arizona. So yeah, I just, you know, it stinks for Bowman. It stinks for Hendrick. I get that. Joey Logano, however, has apparently been living right.
Yes.
He says, allowing teams to replenish fluids for weight tech standard, it's only a coincidence that it was a Hendrick car.
Well, tell me this. I wonder if 2311 had been the one that was underway. Would they allow that after the recent lawsuit and all that?
Oh, man. There's a lot going on in that lawsuit. I don't know what to say about it. God's great. Yes, high quality H2O. Ain't nothing like it, my friend. Matt Moore says, for starters, what happens to Dega stays in Dega. Yeah, it's kind of like a Southern Vegas, from my understanding. Second, you lost Bojangles, and there's nothing like Southern hospitality. Absolutely. Absolutely. I like a good Bo round myself.
Good shout on the Bojangles. I also discovered Bojangles when I was down in Darlington, and it was very fine.
There's only like one in Ohio, and it's like 20 minutes away from me. So I love a good Bo round, let me tell you.
Nice.
It's good stuff.
I do want to add something here. Sorry, Logan, I'm cutting you off again. Get used to it.
I already am.
The disqualification, unfortunately, takes a little bit away from the crazy drive that Tyler Reddick put on at the end of that race. I don't know if you were paying that close attention to it.
I
props to the 45 team, just like a hell of a run. Honestly, like, that car was in bad shape after basically flying into Denny Hamlin. That's a one way to greet your boss. Hey, yeah. Like, and I thought, oh man, this will be the first time ever that the regular season champ is out before the round of eight. And they just kept working at it. They never gave up, kept working at it, and put on a hell of a drive there. It wound up not really mattering, I guess, because with Alex Bowman being disqualified, he would have made it in. Logano made it in after all. But it was very exciting, and I was glad we had that sort of a battle, considering Larson was just so dominant. So.
No, that's what championships teams do. They fight their ass off and come back from adversity. That could be, you know, we'll see, still four races to go. And as you know, a lot can and will happen during these four races. But that could be one of the moments of a turning point where we go, that was a moment where you knew they were a legitimate championship contender. When a severely damaged toe link, which has been putting a lot of people out of commission this year,
and
ever since the start of this car, didn't put them out of commission, and they said, look, we're going to get this thing fixed. They didn't even go a lap down. I mean, obviously, it was they're lucky in the sense of it was the Roval.
Yeah.
But just an incredible, incredible effort by that 45 team. Michael Jordan, Denny Hamlin ought to be proud of all the guys on the crew, and frankly, they all ought to be eating steak dinners on this. They all ought to be finishing up a steak dinner right now at this moment. They deserve it.
Yep.
Great drive by Tyler Reddick, and again, just great effort by that whole crew. I mean, look, my feelings on 2311 are pretty well known, but you got to give credit where it's due, and this was a championship type performance to bounce back like that. So credit to him. A man who has clearly been praying and living right is Joey Logano. You know, we can say what we want about his on-track persona, but clearly he's been doing right by the Lord, because he is the man that benefits from Alex Bowman's misfortune. From out to in is Joey Logano, and Ryan Hill is somewhere elated, I am sure.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, he told me, when I sent him the tweet from Bob, he texts me and goes, you know, holy shnikes, I love you. He didn't chase Nikes, and like, because he was downtrodden, right? His Buckeyes had taken the L on Saturday, and then Logano had been eliminated momentarily there. Because when the race was over at first, before the DQ, he goes, "Well, I'm done. I'll see you at Daytona."
Right.
He was checking out like 11 a.m. at the hotel. He was DUN done.
Yeah.
And then good for Joey Logano. But here's my, I don't have an issue with what they're doing, but now I have to kind of root against him winning the championship. Because if he were to somehow win it all, it is the most controversial champion in the sport's history, without question.
Would you say most controversial? I mean, I'm trying to think of other controversies.
I don't mean in terms of behavior or personality. I'm talking about the fact that you were out, and you would have been out, except for Hendrick had somehow or another screwed the pooch. And so if you are to somehow win it all, look, champion's a champion. If it was somebody that I loved, hey, I get it. But trying to look at this from a fair kind of media, an honest outlook, if Joey Logano somehow wins the championship this year, it has the biggest asterisk you can ever put by a champion.
I don't know if I agree. I don't know. I think.
Well, come on. Why wouldn't you agree with that?
He
was out.
He was only out by like 4 or 5 points. Until the disqualification. Uh-huh. And oh my gosh, someone's ears were burning. Look at this.
Hey Ryan, how you doing? Hey.
We're talking about your guy. Yeah, that's what I was gonna just say. AJ brought it up. Kyle Busch missed 11 races in 2015 and became champion. Well, I think that one's got a bigger asterisk than this.
Thanks for correcting me on the history. All right, then he's the second. Again, I'm not, and hey, look, good for the AAA Auto Club. I'm not hating on Joey Logano. I'm happy for Ryan. Oh, yeah. I'm saying that if he were to somehow win it all, it's not the most insane line ever. It ain't the most insane line I've said on this show. If you were to win it all, you would go, damn, is that a deserving champion?
I don't know. Yeah, see, Matt Kenseth won a championship on one win in 2003, earlier in the year. That's before my time as far as this goes. But really,
if he wins it all, huge if, giant if.
I mean, is it a huge if? These next few tracks are not terrible for Logano. Like, he's good at Vegas. I could easily see him winning the championship. It is also an even year. He seems to do well in the even years.
Like I said, he's been praying right and living with the Lord. I get it. They, you know, those daggum no good cheating Wolverines. I get it. And I would agree with you. But as far as NASCAR goes, yeah, Joey Logano would probably, if he wins it all this year,
he's destined to.
And if he is, like I said, he's been living right with the Lord.
Yeah.
But if he wins it all,
that is the most controversial.
I do like some potato chips, and you know, I do have a fondness for Diet Dr. Pepper. My late grandmother loved it, and so by God, I have consumed a fair amount in my life.
Good for you. Yeah.
But if he wins, let me ask you hypothetically, you don't agree. Is it not a controversial champion if he were to win it all? Is it not a severely controversial champion that makes you go, damn, what's the point of this system?
I think there is a fair amount of luck that goes into winning any championship in NASCAR, especially with the playoff system the way it is. And I think you look at this as one of those, wow, you know, you lucked out with the way that all turned out and you had a brush with death, if you will. But I don't know if I call it an asterisk. I think it's just, it's part of the system. It'd be different if he like got gifted some extra points because of something that happened to him or something. Like this is not an unprecedented situation where someone gets disqualified for a post-race tech. And so unfortunate for Bowman, very fortunate for Logano, but he was 5 points out, really. Like, it'd be different if they gifted him an extra 40 points because they're like, oh, we feel bad that you got run into by someone. It wasn't your fault or something like that. I think that would be too much. So
Ryan, hold on, back me up here, Adam. Right before he tuned in, I literally said if it was somebody I loved, I probably wouldn't care. But I'm still trying to look at it from a fair manner. Look, and I said a champion's champion, didn't I? Yeah. Did I not? I was fair.
You did say that.
Again, you cut a little bit out of context. You're right. If it was a ladies' car, I'd say, hell yeah, we're champs. But all kidding aside, you would still kind of go, yeah. You know, I mean, you would have to. I understand from your perspective why you're like, I don't give a rat's furry ass.
Yeah.
But
I think it would be different if it was something that was completely unprecedented. Like, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. won at Talladega. He's not even in the playoffs.
Sure.
Let's say they said, okay, Alex Bowman is now out of the playoffs, and we're going to give that extra spot to Stenhouse because he won at Talladega, and he won his way in, basically. Like, this would be completely new, a change of the rules. That would be controversial. So, yeah, AJ is bringing more heat. In 2012, Jeff Gordon was added to the playoffs as a 13th in a 12-car field because Brian France said so.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line.
I know. But again, the context of that is I know that AJ severely disagreed with that move, and we all did. I mean, yeah. I did too. But so I'm just saying, on a hypothetical scenario, if you were to win it all, interesting.
Okay, I'll let you have that opinion. I don't agree with it, but screw you. You're not too bad. It's Thanksgiving. I'll be nice.
That damn Thanksgiving makes you a little rude. Yeah.
Anyways, we should continue on because we've been talking Cup Series this whole time. Tell me a little bit about the Xfinity race. Sam Mayer wins his way in.
Sam Mayer punched his ticket in a controversial fashion.
Oh, yes.
It looked like it was Parker Kligerman's win. It looked like easy there, Ryan. Come on now. I actually think he really might win Vegas.
I think he could.
Yeah. So, look. Sam Mayer punched his ticket in a very controversial fashion. It looked like Parker Kligerman finally was getting that elusive big dub.
Oh, so sad.
I'm not going to lie to you, buddy. That's what I was rooting for. I like first-time winners. Parker Kligerman is a likable guy. He's on his way out of full-time racing at the end of the season.
And he has won before, has he not?
He has not.
I thought he won at Mid-Ohio.
Don't think so, but look, you can look it up if you like.
Oh, sorry. That was Truck Series.
Nice.
Yep. There you go. Yeah, my bad. Nice job.
Only the finest analysis here at Racing Recap. Yeah.
Well, you know, we look it up. We look it up. We fact check ourselves. We're okay with the fact checks. So.
Absolutely. We like to blow through them on occasion.
No. So, sorry. Yes. I think it was just Parker Kligerman's a tough guy to root against. He's a good dude. And so, terrible, terrible officiating moment on NASCAR.
Let me ask you, was it a terrible officiating moment? Was it that?
I mean, I think at that point, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, because you waited so long. You wait an extra 30 seconds or less, I mean, 5 seconds. He crosses the line and then you throw the caution and he wins. It's basically they're going to say, oh, you gifted it to Parker Kligerman, right? And the other way around, at least in that way, Parker Kligerman has a chance to win still. Like, you don't take it away from him, but it didn't work out that way. I don't know. I think it's a tough call, but I feel like just the fact that they took so long to throw that caution is a failure on their part.
Here's the deal.
Agreed, Ryan. Agreed.
Here's the deal. It should have been thrown immediately. I think it was a bad officiating call, but let me defend NASCAR a little bit because I think it's cool to dump on them for calls like this, and I don't think that's always fair without painting the full picture, and I am Bob Ross, so I paint full pictures and happy trees and happy accidents. So I get everyone is saying, damn, why in the hell did they wait so long? I get it. I totally get it. It should have been thrown immediately. And it was a bad call that it wasn't. But if they wait 5 more seconds and let him take the white, you're right. Makes it look like they gifted it to him. And NASCAR in this era does not like to end races under yellow. They avoid that as much as they can without being completely egregious. We see that. We know that. Remember, it used to be you could win under yellow. I mean, Dale Sr.'s infamous Daytona 500 win is an under yellow win. That is not how this sport works anymore unless you get down to the one to go. And so, look, I understand why everybody's upset. They should have threw it immediately. But considering they didn't let him take the white, I mean, better late than never. I don't know why they took so long. I don't know if somebody was, I don't know, looking for some duct tape or whatever it may be up there, whoever's pushing the button.
I saw that the official explanation was that the area where the spin took place was an area that they didn't have great eyes on. And I'm like, that's not an excuse. That is terrible. Like, you need to have eyes on the entire track.
Your job.
Yeah. Like, if you know that's a blind spot, put someone there to spot there, you know, like
the kid got out of the house because I wasn't watching. Well, weren't you supposed to be watching?
Yeah. Like, exactly, right. So I don't know. I think that's a terrible excuse, but that's what they said.
Not their finest hour. But again, I want to make clear that, like, people say, well, they should have either did it immediately or did it then. Well, if they didn't do it immediately, then really, kind of what's the harm since it didn't take the white? Because guess what? When you line them all back up, like, you know, like a big pool table anyway, you don't know what's going to happen.
It's true.
It's a big. And so I do think it was a poorly timed call. I'm not defending that. What I am saying is, like, if you let him take the white, then you're right. It looks like, well, there, Parker, big win. And I'm sure Parker would still be working on his spiked coolers right now if he had gotten that big win under caution. I certainly would be. But again, this sport has tried very hard to avoid ending it under caution in this modern era. We can have a great debate on if that's right or if that's wrong. We just have to deal with what we're dealing with here. All right. I wish I had aces in my hand, but I don't. Like, I only have two pair. So we have to deal with it as it is. What's your take?
I think I agree with you mostly. I think at the end of the day, they didn't take away Kligerman's chance to win. You know, there was a restart. He had all the opportunity in the world to win it on the restart. Still, he just didn't. Right. And so, is it upsetting? It's very sad. Yes. But it's the way the cookie crumbles, they should have thrown it sooner, but it's too late. We've got a proposal here. New orange flag. It waves when it is safe to race to the yellow rather than call the race with a frozen field on the final lap or end of a race restart. Yellow is still an option, either at the discretion of the race director. I mean, it seems a little complicated, and I think it gives more power to NASCAR to, like, change the outcome of races. And it's, I don't know. I just let them race. Just let them race. You know, I don't know.
Let the drivers decide it, whether that's good or bad sometimes.
Yeah.
All right.
So, we should move on. We should move on.
Are you ready to talk some happy hour headlines?
I am. Yeah, let's do it. Well, the one and only happy hour headlines. We also have the pink flag. Yes, I prefer that one, AJ. It's a good one.
No, let's implement that. I'm letting my pink flag fly out of the tantrum.
Yeah. What about the freak flag? Should we have a freak flag? That's just anything goes.
Anything goes. Racing Refresh Happy Hour. All right. So there's an odd story here.
It's weird.
Mr. Carabine, tell me about it. A Joe Gibbs racing engineer sold some intellectual property to another team. Can you break this down for me? Because I am all sorts of confuzzled. I'm just a C+ man.
Listen, I'm equally as flummoxed, if you will.
My man.
I knew you'd like that. It is a weird story. It's, first of all, there's nothing that's really happened yet. NASCAR has just said, we are aware of these allegations. So I suppose you should say allegedly. But apparently an engineer who is in a contract year at Joe Gibbs Racing, so they're looking for a new job next year.
Yeah.
Went around and was apparently interviewed by a couple other teams just to, you know, set up for next year. That's normal. Everything fine there. There's now allegations that someone sent him some cash and he gave some setup information to another team that is out of the playoffs. Now, for me, reading between the lines here, I don't know if I'm wrong here, but I feel like JGR is a Toyota team. Would selling setup info to a Chevy or a Ford team really do anything? I don't know exactly enough about the cars, whether that would change anything for them or if that's even relevant info. But my My spidey senses point to Legacy Motor Club. It's the only other Toyota team that's not in the playoffs, and NASCAR did specify it was a team that's out of the playoffs. So
did Jimmie Johnson, Cal Wells, and Maury Gallagher get a little desperate?
And, I mean, I hate to say it, Logan, you're not going to like this, but if they did, they should demand a refund. Like, I don't know what's going on at Legacy, but it hasn't been good. So if this is true, like, not only, like, you should be able to just figure out your own setups on your own, but if you are buying the setup info from another team, a team like JGR, who does pretty well, I don't know what's going on. Like, it's a weird story.
Well, yeah, it absolutely is a weird story. And if it happened, and you know, and whoever, and that includes my beloved club, if it's found to be proven, there should be repercussions for that, 100%.
I would say so.
So again, don't know. I believe in due process. We'll see what happens. But if that's the case, yeah, somebody's got to crack down and get to the bottom of it. Secondly, it's not that uncommon, though, for a team to work with another team. The issue is you already have an aligned green deal, a.k.a. 2311 and Joe Gibbs Racing. It's a satellite deal. Penske, Wood Brothers, they share info. Now, Legacy Motor Club opted to not do that. They didn't want to pay for that info. It's a well-known story. They want to be a Tier 1 team, but they did not want to kind of put any of their eggs in the Gibbs basket, for lack of a better term.
Go ahead, buddy. I was just going to say, do you think they're regretting that decision? Like,
probably.
It's been a rough year.
Probably. I think they thought, and I certainly did, I think they thought by the second half of the year it would start going a lot better. And there's been a couple of bright spots, but they just haven't found any consistency whatsoever. They found consistent bad luck, as shown at the Roval. I mean, that was... I think they're probably regretting that decision, and maybe you start getting a little desperate, especially when you're Jimmie Johnson. Let's be real about it. You are a 7-time champion. You are an all-time great at the sport. You are, which means you are uber competitive.
Oh yeah,
you're uber competitive probably at everything you do. That's just usually the way competitive people are wired. I'm competitive. You're competitive. We want to be good at what we do.
Yep.
And so maybe, and I, again, we don't know. We have no idea. And so maybe Jimmie Johnson has just kind of reached the end of his string as far as, or perhaps even Maury Gallagher, who is well known to be impatient. He's very well known to be impatient if you do some research on him. So maybe they've reached the end of their string. I'm not going to say Richard Petty, because I just don't see him going around and, hey, can you help us? So maybe the two people that are kind of running the show there that we know of, maybe they just got desperate and went, we got to figure something out because this is atrocious. Because you might say, well, the season's over. You don't know what sponsors are looking, and you don't know what different amount of money comes with if you can get up a couple of spots in the full-time standings. So I don't know. I really am interested to see more of this story. Go ahead.
I'm literally just this minute putting together a little theory. All right. Yeah, like, so Our next item we were going to talk about is the crew chief change at Legacy as well. Mm-hmm. And so I know you were pointing to like Jimmie Johnson or Maury Gallagher. Maybe this was someone a little lower on the totem pole, perhaps a crew chief who got caught doing this.
Perhaps Dave Ellens was like,
because not only like he got fired, right? They've replaced him.
Yeah,
he got fired after the best finish Legacy has had all year. Yeah.
At top Talladega. Five, not good enough. We didn't win. See,
right? But so, like, is the top five a result of maybe some stolen intellectual property?
Could be. That's
Legacy Motor Club finds out. Hey, they're like, hey, we're not used to running top five. What's going on here?
What happened here?
And then they're like, yeah, well, we actually got this info from JGR, and that's how we did so well. And they're like, oh, you can't do that. You are fired.
Yeah,
because maybe. It seemed like weird timing.
Yeah,
like what six races left in the season to suddenly replace the crew chief after your best finish.
Yeah, it did feel weird.
I'm just connecting the dots here. I have no info on this.
Tea leaves.
It seems interesting.
And then they made their technical director the interim crew chief of the 42. There is a lot happening in the Legacy Motor Club. There's a lot of moving parts. Yeah. There's a lot of different. The biggest issue, at least behind the scenes, in my estimation, I studied the team quite regularly, as you know. I mean,
of course,
There's too many cooks in the kitchen. Too many. Who runs what? Who does what? Everything needs to be clearly defined. And it's very possible that it is within the office.
It may be.
Yeah. Publicly, the only thing we know is that Richard Petty is not running it. We don't know how much Maury Gallagher runs. We don't know how much Jimmy Johnson runs. We don't technically know what Richard Petty does there. We don't know much about anything. We don't know what Cal Wells is doing. There's a lot of different moving parts and a lot of different visions. And even though Richard Petty is not running things, I'm sure he's given some input here and there. It's just weird. Like Matt Kenseth is there. Trevor Bain is there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different folks.
A lot of big names there, yeah. But it hasn't worked out yet. You know,
we'll see what happens. And I still have still got strong faith, hoping for a good run at Vegas.
Jimmy Johnson's running Vegas, is he not?
He is running Vegas.
He'll be in the 84. So
yeah. Hopefully he can. If he could just have a lead lap finish, I'd be pretty happy, to be honest with you.
Yeah. That would be good.
But again, some of that in Legacy's defense, and then we'll move on. Some of that has been truly bad luck.
Oh, yeah.
Jimmy Johnson's last race was truly bad luck. Wrong place, wrong time. Nothing he did wrong.
His entire part-time schedule has been disastrous this year.
Bad luck.
It's really been a lot of bad luck.
Bad luck for both cars at the Roval. The same incident. And they didn't even get their block knocked off. It just broke parts that were in Central.
Yep.
All right. I don't know what's going on with Vegas Motor Club. We'll see what happens. Hopefully they can have a nice, solid end of the season to start building momentum. But momentum is a fickle mistress. That is
true. Yeah.
Can't make that work. Haley Deegan moving on to a full-time Indy Next. Sorry, my WWE fandom came out. They call it NXT, really.
Yeah, is it Indy Next? So, is that how they say this?
It's interesting to me. Obviously, she lost her ride at AM Racing.
Yep.
Clearly, that was a bad breakup.
I don't care
what anybody says. It was clearly a bad breakup. What's your thoughts on this? Going open wheel racing is Haley Deegan. I think it's interesting because I think it's bad for the sport as far as marketability goes, as far as NASCAR goes. Because she's a likable, marketable gal. I mean, she's good looking and she certainly in her early days at the K&N series in Arca, she showed a lot of promise, a lot of potential. But ever since went to the truck series, hasn't been much.
It's true. It's been a rough go for her in the NASCAR world, really, from truck series to Xfinity series. Part of that is equipment in the Xfinity series. I mean, AM Racing isn't exactly tearing things up, but I think it is a loss for NASCAR if she is completely jumping ship. We don't know. Maybe she's going just to run in some better equipment somewhere else and put up some good numbers and show that she deserves a ride in NASCAR. We don't really know, what her end goal is here. Is she just going to become now an IndyCar driver? Is that it? Is that what she wants to do? Mm-hmm. We don't know. But I think if that is the case, it is a loss for NASCAR. Cause she is a marketable person for sure.
Yeah.
I don't love that this is the case, but the fact that she's female is kind of an anomaly in NASCAR. There's not a ton of female presence right now. There should be more. And so if she has the talent to be there, she should be there. Right. But I don't know, I guess, does this move kind of show that, I mean, she's been out of the ride for a while now. And is that just an indicator that no one's really been willing to take a shot at her?
I would be very surprised if nobody was willing to take a shot. I'd be very surprised. I mean, I think there's some truck teams that could certainly use her. I think there's probably some lower funded Xfinity teams that would certainly love to have her. It was probably not, again, purely speculating. Maybe her phone hasn't rang. I have no idea. It's not that I'm not Haley Deegan's PR. But I would be very surprised that somebody didn't go, hey, are you interested? And maybe it just wasn't an offer that she thought fit her. And so she's going to try something else. Maybe it's a passion she's wanted to chase. And sometimes when one door opens, one door closes, another door opens. And maybe that was what this is. If who knows what the future might hold? We saw Danica Patrick make the transition. You can debate her results all you want, and plenty of people have and will. But so we'll see what the future holds for her. And hopefully, I hope she does great things because a woman in motorsports, period, having success is wonderful.
Yep.
It gets people talking that don't typically talk about motorsports. So I think it's AJ says this is great for media and fans. I expect great Raider on track results. This is not great for her pocketbook. Right. Probably not, but you know, bills to pay, I'm sure. And so
I'm just looking work. Like, so she's signed with HMD Motorsports, and I'm going to admit that I'm not a huge follower of the Indy Next series. I don't know that team name. It doesn't ring a bell to me. I don't know if they're, you know, a high quality team, but I imagine she must at least want to go somewhere where she's going to get some good results, you know, or at least thinks she's going to. Yeah.
It's something that will certainly make me keep an eye. You know, keep an eye and see how she's doing.
Me too.
All right. Finally, the CW is discussing broadcasting some Xfinity races remotely next season. I don't like this. I gotta tell you. I don't like this because it's, you know, as somebody that does broadcasting on a much, much lesser limited scale than anything the CW is going to cook up, not being there feels inauthentic. You can't tell the full story. You can't. I mean, yeah, you can watch the action, you can call the action, but those little nuggets, you know, that come from creating relationships in the garages. But obviously, it probably comes down to money. And certainly, if you have them remotely set up at Charlotte, it's cheaper. I mean, that's just the facts. What do you think?
It's clearly a cost-saving measure, but it's a dumb one, really. I think it'll make the product suffer. I've seen Dale Jr. talk about this because there was rumors they were going to do that for, was it Prime next year or something? I don't know. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, that's a terrible idea. And especially with, you know, having talent in the booth to see what's going on, you know, look around and not necessarily seeing everything that's being caught on camera and being able to talk about that. When you're in a studio somewhere, yeah, I'm sure you've got like multiple views available to you, but it's not the same. You know, you're at the mercy of the cameraman live at the track.
Yeah.
And if you're sending cameramen, send a few, you know, send a few broadcasters too. You might as well.
Let's be frank. You can watch a concert on YouTube all day long. That's not, and you can enjoy the experience.
Of course.
You and I are both music lovers, but you and I both chase being at the concert. There's nothing like it.
Well, and you may even have a better view on YouTube than being there live.
There's nothing like being there.
Absolutely.
I don't know. At some point, it's kind of, let's keep it simple, stupid, shall we? Come on, common sense.
Yeah. And I mean, just, could it be that much more expensive? I mean, I imagine it costs a lot of money to put on a NASCAR broadcast, you know, just in general, but.
Well, I mean, it can substantially save you cash because remember, that's probably a hotel. You don't have to pay for food, that whole deal.
I know, but I just mean on the grand scale of things, like, I don't know. There you go. Yeah, AJ. How long until a celebrity special guest attends a major event remotely? Yeah.
I'm surprised it didn't happen during COVID.
Why don't we get, like, you know, Ryan Gosling to do the command to start the engines, but he does it from his own home. Just like a pre-tape, you know, like it's not the same. Why? Yeah.
I think they had some of that during the COVID season.
Well, during COVID. Yeah. That makes sense. That's different. That wasn't cost saving. That was safety more, but
I'm just saying there's a precedent for it. So
I know.
Never said never. Anywho, we got to move it along. It's time for our weekend preview.
Ooh, doggy.
Kind of a light slate in the motorsports world.
It is a light week. Yeah, what is this? AJ has been to every Daytona 500 since he was 9. Is that right? Really?
Oh, not he hasn't been to. He has. He might have watched, but he hasn't been.
I see. He's making a joke. I just, Oh, what's this? Speaking of celebrity guests, a little birdie told him. A two-time NHRA Top Fuel champion, Brittany Force, will be a special guest at the Las Vegas 400 next weekend, not remote.
Yeah.
And also, you know, who else will be a special celebrity guest there? Maybe not celebrity, but our very own Crystal Clay will be there covering the race.
And usually where one Brittany Force goes, I know a certain guy that follows. So I know another guy that might be in the house. We shall see.
We shall see, yeah.
the Cup and Xfinity guys are in the land of Wayne Newton, Viva Las Vegas. That's right. Maybe they'll be hanging out with the Midnight Idol. Who knows? who knows? I think he's been to a couple NASCAR races over the years. Who knows? So F1 Coda. Look, hey, lately Max Verstappen is not dominating, which is good for F1, ladies and gentlemen.
It is. But I feel like he has poisoned F1 a little bit. Like, I don't, maybe that's just my own perception. Like, is anyone really super still interested in F1 right now? I think
Kyle Finley. That's about it.
Yeah. All right. There you go. Well, that's what we got this weekend, folks. Moving on.
All right. And that means it's time for Racing Refresh picks.
There we go. Now, do we have producer Peggy's pick?
I have not heard a word.
We haven't heard a word. That's fine. It was a rough week when we last picked. It was for Talladega. You ended up winning the week, sir, but you won with Chase Elliott coming P29.
I'll take it.
I had Chase Briscoe P30, and Peyton, I think, was Ryan Blaney, like P39. So a rough week in the Racing Refresh picks, but it is a new week this week, and we are picking for Las Vegas. So it's supposed to be producer Peggy going first, but unless we hear anything from her, we'll have to follow up with her after that, which I guess leads to me. I am rooting for my guy, Martin Truex Jr.
Why not?
It's his best track. His best track statistically. You might not think that, but I'm going with Truex. Hopefully he can get that ever elusive final win that he's been looking for.
Well, we'll see. That would be a wonderful story. I'm going to take Joey Logano. I think he's going to do something big with this new life.
I had a feeling you might pick him. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We will we'll follow up with producer Peggy and find out who she's picking. But
all right. So picks are made, previews are set, and that means it's time, ladies and gentlemen. Like, it's been a wonderful episode, but every wonderful episode must come to an end. So that means it's time for a little closing time.
It is indeed. Oh. You know what? Sorry. Before we get to closing time, I didn't update the scores. You and I are tied at the lead. We've got 62 points each. Producer Peggy is at 61. So it is a very tight race.
It's coming down to the nitty gritty.
It really is. Yeah. Honestly, I'm shocked. You know, I feel like, I don't know. I am just surprised. Anyways. Yes. Closing time. Go ahead.
Coming down to the nitty gritty. And I don't mean Dirt Band as far as Racing Refresh picks goes.
Well, you're fishing in the dark with that reference there.
My man, I love you. Anywho, it's been another great episode with that. Adam Caramon, give me some final words.
Well, it's been a lovely hour spent with you here, Logan.
Yeah.
And just, you know, whether you're Canadian or American out there, just a happy Canadian Thanksgiving to you all. It's a good reminder to just take stock of what we're grateful for. I'm grateful for you guys. I'm grateful for a lot of things in my life. And so I think we should address that more than once a year. And so we do it twice, Canadian and American Thanksgiving. No, I'm kidding. We should do it every day of the year. But, you know, on particular special days like this,
absolutely.
I'm grateful for you. So yeah,
I'm grateful for you as well. Always have been, always will be. You and I have a very complex relationship, and I enjoy the hell out of it.
Cheers to that.
So with that, look, folks, let's enjoy Vegas this weekend. Let's enjoy. Look, there's not many NASCAR races left this year. Enjoy them while you got them. AJ, cheers. Be well, my friend. Hope all is well. And if you're heading out west, if you're shaking it out west, as someone said, then hope you have fun.
Yeah.
So, with that, Viva Las Vegas. Hope everybody has fun and enjoys the weekend. Hope everybody enjoys the great racing action. And until next time, we'll see you at the next track.